We are honored this morning to have in chapel Dr. Ed Nelson. The first time I met Pastor Nelson, I was a rising senior in college. My family had moved to Denver, where I actually started attending the church where Pastor Nelson was the pastor, the South Sheridan Baptist Church. That church has a very special affection in my heart. First of all, it's where I met my wife. We met in Sunday school. Later, I was ordained into the ministry under Dr. Nelson's leadership. He married my wife and I. And over the years, he has always been for me, he's my Moses, if I could say it that way, and has been a wonderful encouragement, he and his wife. They will celebrate, Lord willing, this summer, their 67th wedding anniversary. And Dr. Gyla Nelson, his wife, has been on the board of Bob Jones University for almost 50 years. He was saved in 1944 under the ministry of Dr. Bob Jones Sr. in a revival meeting. He came to Bob Jones University and graduated in 1949. He was an itinerant evangelist, a pastor, a church planter. He's planted 33 churches in his lifetime. He's a founding member of the Baptist World Missions Board, and he served on that board for 51 years. He's authored 4 books. All 5 of his children are graduates of Bob Jones University, and 8 of his grandchildren, one of them graduating this year. And we are so honored to have him here today. And so this is my pastor, who I deeply love and so thankful for. I would not have come to Bob Jones University if it was not for this man. So would you please stand this morning and welcome Dr. Ed Nelson as he comes to our pulpit to preach.
Thank you. You may be seated. And I'm very thankful to be here. I'm thankful for Bob Jones University. As I said, I was saved under the ministry of Dr. Bob Jones Sr. And then the next year was called into the ministry under the ministry of Dr. Bob Jones Jr. Both of these things happened at the First Baptist Church in Fort Collins, Colorado. And it was the time at the near the end of the war, but all of the young men in the church had been drafted, and I was still left. I'd been in an accident with a runaway team of horses on the farm that left me where they didn't think I would live, and I was the only young man in the church, and they asked me to lead singing for Dr. Bob Jones Jr. I don't know anything about singing. Don't know, I can't carry a pitch, but fools rush in where angels fear to tread, and I did it. And every night, Dr. Bob Jones Jr. came, and he said, young man, you need to come to Bob Jones and get some training. I knew what he meant, but, and I did. I came to Bob Jones, met my wife here, and I'm thankful for the years that I had attending here. Now, let's look today at Genesis chapter 32. Genesis chapter 32, I hope you bring your Bibles with you to chapel. We'll note some verses. We'll begin at verse 24, Genesis 32, 24. And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. And he said unto him, what is thy name? And he said, Jacob. And he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. And Jacob asked him and said, tell me, I pray thee, thy name. And he said, wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name? And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. And we're going to look at this first, at this chapter, a little bit later, a little bit more in detail, but let us just notice this is a great, momentous day in the life of Jacob. That day begins in the last verse of chapter 31. Note that verse. And he had left Padan Aram and was going back to the land of Canaan, to God's land. And Laban had chased him, and he'd stopped him. And God had warned Laban, don't you touch Jacob, don't you harm him. And so they had a friendly meeting, and this verse tells us Laban went back early in the morning. Laban rose up and kissed his sons and his daughters and blessed them. And Laban departed and returned unto his place. Verse 1, and Jacob went on his way. So that's early in the morning, one day. This whole chapter is one day. Notice as we come to the last part of the book of Genesis, and it says there, early in the morning, the next day. So it was one day, 24-hour period, made a great difference in the life of this man. I'm going to take this chapter and speak to it from four names. The first name is in the first part of the chapter. Jacob went on his way, and the angels of God met him. And when Jacob saw them, he said, "This is God's host." And he called the name of that place Mahanaim. That name means two hosts. What were the two hosts? One was Jacob's host, and the other was the host of angels. That's all I'll comment on that today, except to say all of us are under the protection of angels. God says, "The angel of the Lord campeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them." And the angels are going to protect Jacob. The second name comes in verse 3. And Jacob sent messengers before him. The first name meant the protection of God. This name means the persistence of the flesh. Now, why am I preaching this morning? Well, I realize that President Pettit, you're here today, he has been preaching and endeavoring to disciple in chapel. And I followed that some. And he's endeavored to teach you what the danger of walking in the flesh. In fact, in our adult Bible study class in our church, Grace Baptist in Parker, Colorado, in that class, we were studying the book, Walking in the Spirit, a study of Galatians chapter 5. We were studying that book at the very time I received a letter from President Pettit. And in that letter, he said, "I'd like you to come and preach in chapel on January 28th. Man, was I excited. I was glad to accept. I love to preach. Even though I'm 92, I love to preach, and I enjoy it. And so I immediately accepted and wondered, what am I going to preach? And I decided, he's been talking about walking in the Spirit and not in the flesh. Galatians 5, he says, I say, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary one to the other." He's been talking about walking in the Spirit, not the flesh. You say, well, why do you go to the Old Testament to prove New Testament truth? The two testaments fit together. And we need to understand what somebody has said. The New Testament is in the Old Testament concealed. The Old Testament is in the New Testament revealed. And we can take illustrations from the Old Testament to prove New Testament truth all the way through. And so today I'm turning to the life of Jacob, a man who lived according to the flesh. Turn in your Bibles back to Genesis chapter 25. And here we'll find the birth of Jacob, and we get much about his life there in Genesis 25. There were twins in the womb of Rebekah, and God had said that she would bear twins, and God said to her earlier in this chapter that the elder shall serve the younger. That elder was Esau, and we come to the birth of Jacob, Esau and Jacob there in the last part of Genesis chapter 25. Verse 27, the boys grew, and Esau was a cunning hunter. After that came his brother out, and his hand took hold on Esau's heel. So they were born, Esau first, Jacob grabbed Esau's heel. You know what the word Jacob means? It means heel grabber. I found that in Strong's Concordance in the Hebrew lexicon, heel grabber or supplanter. I looked up the word supplanter in the Webster's Dictionary, and it says to overthrow by tripping. And this was Jacob's life. Right here we find what Jacob's going to be. He's going to be a schemer. He's going to be one that trips up others. He's going to live in the flesh. And that's exactly what he's talking about. Now let's look at Esau. Esau, we read, was a hunter in verse 27, and a man of the field. Jacob was a plain man. And here was a home that it wasn't doing right. Isaac loved Esau, and his wife, Rebekah, loved Jacob. That's a good way to ruin a home, have a split parents on the children. But, you know, I kind of like Esau better than Jacob, just in the flesh. Esau was a hunter. I like hunters. He goes out in the field. I'm a farm boy. I like field. But we need to remember that the Bible says in Matthew chapter 13, verse 58, the field is the world. And so Esau was a worldly man and lived for the world. And you'll see that. And so Esau came in from the field. He was hungry. And Jacob, I never get excited about a man who just stays in the kitchen all the time. That would bother me. And so I automatically am attracted to Esau, but there was one big difference between the two. Jacob was a man who had a propensity to faith. He had some faith. I don't think, though there was a lot of faith, but he did believe in the eternal. And Esau came in from the field, and he looked at Jacob as he was sodding some pottage there, and Esau said, I want some of that pottage. I'm hungry. I'm about to die. And Jacob said, sell me your birthright. And Esau made an awful statement. He said, I'm at the point to die. What profit shall this birthright do to me? The birthright's no profit to me. Why, it was the most profitable thing he had. It was that which had to do with eternity. The Bible says in Hebrews 12, verse 16, lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. You know what young people do today? For one morsel of meat, they sell the birthright out. Oh, what a danger there is. Don't you fall to following the world. You live realizing that the flesh lusts against the spirit against the flesh, and these are adversaries, the one to the other. And you need to realize that battle's going on in your life now, and it'll continue after you graduate. How many have I seen graduate from this school and then yield to the flesh and not amount to what God had for them if they had just obeyed God and said, I want to walk in the Spirit? Esau was a fornicator, had his love in the wrong place. Esau was a profane man. That means he lived away from the temple. He wasn't interested. He had no spiritual desire whatsoever. He needed to deal with the flesh, but he did not. And then we read that we come to chapter 27. I'll not turn to it. Jacob needed the blessing. And Isaac called in Esau. He loved Esau. And Isaac said, go get me some venison and fix me. Get me a deer and fix me some venison, such as I love. That's repeated several times in the Word of God, such as I love. And so Isaac had his affections on worldly things, and he really loved that. And he asked him to do it. Rebekah, the mother, heard it. And she went to Jacob and said, he asked Esau to go get him some venison. She said, if you want the blessing. Now, she didn't need to scheme. Jacob came to the scheming because he was loved by Rebekah, and she was a schemer. She said, I'm going to have you kill two goats. I'm going to put the skins on your arms. I'm going to put them around your neck, and I'm going to get Esau's clothes and put them on you, and I'll fix you some savory meat out of goat. Won't be venison, but you'll tell him it is. And in Genesis 27, you find Jacob coming and saying, here's the venison. He said, how'd you get it so quick? He said, are you my son? He said, twice, I'm your son Esau. Big lie. And he said, well, how'd you do it so quick? He said, God gave it to me. Not only did he lie, but he blamed God for the lie. That was Jacob, the man who was walking after the flesh. Can't spend more time on that. If you read that 27th chapter, you'll find repeated references to walking in the flesh. You come to Genesis 28. Rebekah said, we better send Jacob back to Padan Aram, because she heard in Genesis 27, Esau said, when my father dies, I'm going to kill Jacob. And so she heard that. And she went to Isaac and said, let's send him back. I don't want him marrying any of these children, daughters of Heth here. I want him marrying some of our family. Let's send him back to Padan Aram. They did. And on the way, he stopped at Bethel. And he slept there overnight, had a rock as a pillow, a rock for his a pillow for his head. And he slept there and he had a dream. And that night he saw a ladder from earth to the sky, angels going up and down the ladder. And you look into the New Testament, John 1:51, and it says in the New Testament that that ladder is Jesus Christ. He was so what happened then? It was there in Genesis 28 that Jacob got saved. Now there are three kinds of people. Number one, 1 Corinthians 2:14. The natural man, that's the unsaved man, receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for their foolishness unto him. Then it talks about the spiritual man who's able to discern. And then come to chapter 3, and it says, but ye are not spiritual, are ye not carnal? Whereas there is strife and envying and division among you, are ye not carnal and walk as men? And so there's three men, the natural man, that's the unsaved person. The spiritual man, that's the one who's trusted the Lord and is walking in the Spirit. And then there's the carnal man. He's trusted the Lord. Jacob did that in Genesis 28. But now he's walking in the flesh. I'm afraid today that's where most of our Christians are. They're in America at least. They're walking in the flesh. They're not walking in the Spirit. And we need to come to the place where we say, by the grace of God, I want to walk in the Spirit. Well, in Genesis 29, Jacob met Laban. That's when two crooks met. Laban, Jacob the rascal, that's the most terrible thing you can say about him. Jacob, saved, but walking in the flesh. And he met Laban, who was dedicated to the flesh. And chapters 29, 30, and 31, well worth your study time. We can't look at them very much today. These two men contesting each other. In fact, Laban, Jacob worked 7 years for Rachel, but Laban gave him Leah instead. So he had to work 7 more years and got Rachel. And then her womb was closed up until she bore Joseph and Benjamin later. But they were warring against each other constantly. And finally, Jacob is coming back now. I said Laban had left. And that morning, Jacob started back. And as he did, the angels met him. And Mahaneah means the protection of angels. Jacob means the persistence of the flesh. A saved man, but he just lived for the flesh. And the way to live is to live in the Spirit. So we come to chapter 32. And Jacob is on his way. And he sent some messengers to go over to Edom to tell to see if they could make peace with Esau. And the messengers came back very quickly. And they said, Esau's on his way here. He's got 400 men with him. And here he comes. And you need to be ready. Oh, Jacob became fearful. What do we read about Jacob doing then? Come to verse 9 of chapter 32. And Jacob said, O God of my father Abraham, the God of my father Isaac, the Lord who said unto me, what was he saying? Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. It's comparable. But then we notice, the Lord which said unto me, this is quite a prayer. It'd be well worth your study of this prayer and meditating in it. He's quoting scripture. You told me, thou which saidst unto me, return unto thy country. He said, I want to remind you that you said this. Come to verse 12. And thou saidst, I will surely do thee good. Twice in that prayer, Jacob said, God, here's what you said. You know, that's great praying. Praying is a matter of claiming the promises of God and saying, Lord, here's what you said. I'm going to believe it and see victory in the grace of God. Thou saidst unto me. And then you'll note in verse 10, he confessed his sin. I am not worthy of all thy mercies and of all the truths which thou showest. I passed over this Jordan by myself. I've been living for myself. He confessed it. And then in verse 11, deliver me, I pray thee, from the hand of my brother Esau. What a prayer, a great prayer. And when he'd finished, that was good that he prayed that way. You know what he did? He went back to scheming. He said, Jacob, Esau's close. And he said, I'm going to send him a gift. I'm going to send him, you add it up there. He said, 200 she-goats and 40 rams and 200 ewes and 40 rams. And he listed them all out. It was 580 items of livestock that Jacob had. He was sending to him. And he was giving them to Esau as a gift. And he divided those 580 into groups of 116 each. And each, though I know it was five groups, because if you note there in that verse, it says the second group, he gave instruction to the first group, the second group, the third group, and others. That meant there were more than three groups. And the only way you can divide that with one number is number five divides all those numbers equally. And so 116 animals were given this man. You go see Esau. When you get there, you say, these come from thy servant Jacob. He wants to give them to his Lord Esau. Jacob had never talked like that before. He never said, Esau's my Lord, I'm his servant. He never talked like that. But now he's saying that. And the second one, do the same. And the third one, and the fifth one, and they all came and bowed down before Esau, but Jacob was still afraid. And that night, he divided up his family, and he put the family across Jabbok into the promised land. He had them cross over the Jabbok. It's there where Jabbok joins the River Jordan, and he went, took them across Jabbok. But he went back on the other side of Jabbok, and that brings us to the last part of the chapter where we read earlier. And the Bible says, he took them, the family, verse 23, he took them, that's the family, and sent them over the brook, and sent over that he had. And Jacob went back across Jabbok and was left alone. And there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. There's that verse I was looking for a bit ago. He went from one break of day to another break of day. He went before God. You see, Jacob was frightened to death of Esau. He's going to meet Esau, but he had to meet somebody else first. You know who he met? God. Now this passage, it says they wrestled a man with him until the breaking of day. I've heard this passage preached. You know what? Jacob was a good man, a good fighter, and he wrestled there with that man. You know who that man was? Hosea chapter 12, verse 4 said it was an angel. It wasn't just a human. He was wrestling with an angel. And that angel was sent by God. And Jacob wrestled. And it doesn't say Jacob wrestled. No, we get that right when you read this. It says there wrestled, verse 24, a man or an angel with him until the breaking of day. It wasn't a wrestling match Jacob chose. He's there alone. And all of a sudden, somebody's wrestling with him. And so he wrestled back. Now, Jacob was very strong. And you'll notice what it says. Verse 25, when the angel prevailed not against him, Jacob. He touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint. So here's Jacob wrestling with an angel, or the angel literally, let me get that right, the angel literally wrestling with him. And Jacob had power, personal power. You know, the most dangerous thing a preacher boy can have is self-confidence. He needs to come humbly to God and let God use him. And I think I'll do it with my cleverness. I'll lead these people with my ability. I feel sorry for men that have a lot of ability, and I've met them, have more ability in their little finger than I have in my whole body. But I've noticed often they trust that ability and fail to yield to the Lord. And what a danger it is. And Jacob had the strength. If you go back in Genesis 29, we'll now look at it now. Three shepherds had come with their flocks. Jacob saw them. The well was there. And then here comes Rachel. And they said, there's Laban's daughter. Oh, and he saw Rachel. he thought, this is the one. He said, fellas, go water your sheep. His idea was get rid of those men and he could be alone with Rachel. And they said, we can't. Why not? They said, there's a lid on the well, a rock on the well. He said, we have to wait for all the shepherds to get here, maybe six or eight or some number. We wait for them all, and then we all go and lift the rock box together. You know what Jacob did? He went over and lifted that rock himself. What power. What strength. It was in the flesh. And so where did God touch him? The angel wrestled with him until the break of day. And then the word of God says that the angel touched his thigh. And it was out of joint. Do you know what? He walked the rest of his life with that mark in his life. Mark of the fact that the spirit, the flesh took over. I said the persistence of the spirit. And he gave him a new name that day. Your name is no more Jacob. Oh, by the way, I'll bring this out. The angel asked him, what's your name? Jacob said, Jacob. What did he say? I'm a heel grabber. I'm a tripper. I've been living for the flesh. He said, your name will be Israel, a prince with God. And so he walked with God. After that day, walking in the Spirit. And then the next name is Peniel, which means I met God face to face. Listen, young people, you need to come right now and say, I want God to take my life. I want to walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Follow the life of Jacob. He was used of God to found the nation of Israel. But he had to come to the place where he walked in the Spirit. Lord, take this truth. We've had to rush through it. But I pray the Spirit of God will burn it into the hearts of the students and the staff and all the folk here. How important it is to walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.